Bibles this morning to Colossians. Colossians 3:17. Oh God, thank you. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, What's in a Name? What is in a Name? Colossians 3:17. Thus saith the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. With that in mind, before we look into it, let's pray and ask God to open up our minds to this text. Father, as we look at this text, we just know, Lord, that we need your help in understanding it. And not just to understand it, Lord, but would you open up our minds so that we might apply it. We'd apply it to our lives. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to walk amongst us. And if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, I pray that you would be willing to open their hearts, draw them to yourself, Lord, or even stir their hearts. And I pray that through this message, and that you would be glorified and honored, for you're so worthy of that. And I ask it all by the authority of the blood of Christ and in his holy name. Amen. What's in a name? I think it's fair to say that today people's names don't have much significance other than to identify them. Many people are named after family members. They're named after famous persons, cities, seasons, you name it. A person will pick a name and assign it to a child. Other names seem to be made up by a random mixture of letters and vowels. It's like they put them in a hat. And they shake them all up and they pull it out and say, that spells something and that's going to be your name. There seems to be no rhyme or reason for how we pick names today. And of course, royalty. They have titles attached to their names. And what they do is identify their ranking within the kingdom. But by and large, throughout all history, people's names have never been nothing more than a few words that identify a certain face. That's what names do. But there's one exception to that statement, and you know where I'm going. There's one name, one, out of all the billions of people that have ever lived, there's one name that changed everything in both the physical world and in the spiritual world. The name and the person of Jesus of Nazareth. In Luke 1:30 and 31, we read that God sent his messenger Gabriel to bring Mary good news. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Mary and Joseph didn't pick the name. God picked the name. And 3 months later, in a cold, dark stable in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to a male child, which she named Jesus, which means Savior, Deliverer. So you see, the name of Jesus had a meaning that went far beyond any name that any other human being could have. And from the very moment that the baby Jesus took his first breath, from that moment on, everything in this world changed. Nothing would ever be the same again once Christ was born. As an infant, the Christ child brought out the absolute hostility of man towards God, and he did that in the slaughter of the innocents. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under. The wise man told Herod that the Messiah was coming, and Herod didn't want the Messiah to come. He was out to kill him. And we see through the Christ child the outright hostility the world has to the name Jesus. And ever since that day, The world has been hostile to Christ. Ever since his birth, the world has never stopped being hostile to him. As an adult, the name of Jesus brought light into the world. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. No other human being could bring light into the world. No other name can shine light. The name of Jesus brought truth and eternal life into the world. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. It is absolutely impossible. That text tells us it's impossible for any human being to have the ear of God unless they belong or unless they are in Christ, nowhere else. That one name. The name of Jesus brought the love of God into the world. The Father loved me. I also have loved you. Abide in me. John 15:9. Every human being comes into this world and they're taught to love. It's a conditional love. Mothers teach their children that. Children see that in adults. But love, worldly love, is conditional love. I love you because Jesus loved us in spite of ourselves. Unconditionally, he loved us. And he taught us that. And once that was in the world and some in his disciples, and they saw unconditional love, the world changed. And it's never been the same. The name Jesus brought forgiveness of sins into the world. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he, that is Jesus, has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. When Jesus forgave a man of his sins, the Pharisee said, how can a man forgive sins? Because Jesus was not just a man, he was God incarnate. Nowhere in the world can you have a sin forgiven except in the name of Christ. You can fault somebody and that person can say, okay, I forgive you. But if you've broken one of God's laws, you can never be forgiven for that unless you use the name of Christ, if you're in Christ. And the name of Jesus brought disciples into the world. Acts 2:41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Acts 2:41, from the original 11 disciples at Pentecost, 3,000 disciples were added to that, and each and every one of them had the love of God in them. They had the forgiveness of sins. Their sins were forgiven. And the world was never the same because those 3,000 disciples plus more went out into the world preaching and teaching. And they made more disciples. And through the centuries, the disciples of Jesus have changed the world by demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22, that is not a human trait. Those are not human traits. Those are divine traits. And they only belong to the disciples of Jesus Christ. And when the disciples of Jesus Christ exercise those fruits, the world has changed. Now, you can love your enemy. The world doesn't love their enemies, but Christians do. Hebrews 10:35 talks about saints going off to visit the prisons, the saints for the Christian to visit the Christians that were imprisoned, and it says, "And you held on to your faith." And didn't turn back when you saw them destroying your property. I'm paraphrasing it. I
forgot the verse, but I'm paraphrasing, and that's exactly what happened. They were going off to prison to visit other brothers and sisters in Christ who were in prison for their faith. And as they left their home and their belongings, non-Christians, the world came in and pilfered them, stole them. And he said, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that you have a greater treasure in heaven. That's the verse. That's not a worldly thing. That only comes in the name of Jesus Christ. And that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit that's in every single disciple, that fruit created the first hospital. It created the first soup kitchen, the first orphanage, the first nursing care, the first schools, the first support system. None of that was in the world until Christ came. None of it was. If you'll remember, there was a guy named George Mueller who was an Englishman. And during that time, if you had children and you couldn't afford them, you went to London and you dropped them off in the city and you left them there. George Mueller was a Christian. And God put it on his heart to start an orphanage. And without once asking for support, God provided what's known today to about $14 million in offerings that people just felt compelled to give him and feed those children. None of that would have taken place except in the name of Jesus Christ. The world changed. There was not a hospital. If you were sick, you went to a witch doctor. And it was only because Christians wanted to spread the gospel seed of Jesus Christ that they got these together and they provided medical care, and they're still doing it today. That's what missionaries do. They go to a country and they help them. And in the process, they spread the seed of Jesus Christ. That name changed everything. And all of those things I just mentioned only came into being because of the name Jesus spread around the world. So make no mistake about it. The name Jesus radically, I mean absolutely radically, changed the entire physical world. And it's still happening today. Now it may be on a small scale when you consider the world in general, but that's okay. It's changing the world. And the same is true in the spiritual world. We have to remember, we are a trichotomy. We are made up, as 1 Thessalonians tells us, of a body, a soul, and a spirit. You're a spiritual person. You're supposed to, as a Christian, as a believer, you're supposed to live in the Spirit. You're supposed to walk in the Spirit. You're supposed to pray in the Spirit. And as a spiritual creature, the name Jesus is unparalleled. Before Jesus came into the world, before Christ, every single human being outside of Israel was eternally doomed to the lake of fire. If you weren't a Jew in Israel, and you weren't even a believing Jew, because not all of the Jews in Israel were believing Jews. If you were not a believing Jew, everybody else, millions and millions of people perished, and they're now waiting in hell for the judgment. And the same is true today. It hasn't changed. The amount, the group of people that believe in Christ, biblically believe in Christ. The Bible says the gate is narrow, but wide is the path that leads to destruction. So there's no difference now in the spiritual realm. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2:12. He says, at that time, talking to the Ephesians, before Christ, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's pretty simple stuff. Now, do you understand that although you're walking in this physical world, you also are a spiritual creature, and you should be living in the spiritual world as well. And it's no different for you than it is for the lost. They just don't have an awareness of it the way you do. And this text is telling us that those people outside of Christ have no hope, and they don't. And it also says they are without God in the world. So any God that they have outside of Christ is a God of their imagination, and it does them no good. So in the spiritual world, the name Jesus is so significant of everything. Galatians 4:4 teaches us, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. That's what Jesus came for. Listen, the only reason we celebrate Christmas, the only reason I should say to celebrate, that anyone should celebrate Christmas, is to rejoice in God's gift of salvation to man. There's no other reason to celebrate Christmas. None. In Luke 9:10, Jesus testifies why he was born. He says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." God brought him into the world to seek and save those which were lost. God's gift of salvation to us, to mankind, his elect in particular, but to mankind in general. I dare say, if you're listening to this and you're outside of Christ, that is, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't know why you even bother to celebrate Christmas. I don't get it. You've rejected the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. So what in the world are you doing celebrating Christmas? For the record, Christmas is composed, the word Christmas is composed of two words, Christ and Mass, which means celebration of Christ. So if you're celebrating the Lord Savior Jesus, if you're not celebrating the Lord Jesus on Christmas, quite frankly, I think you're at the wrong party. You really have nothing to celebrate. You have everything to fear and nothing to celebrate. Because one day you will stand before the one you rejected and be judged and eternally punished for your spiritual crimes. The one you will stand before is Jesus Christ. The traditional Christmas is a celebration of salvation to mankind. And if you're celebrating it without Christ, you're in the wrong party. And I don't want you to take my word for it. Go ahead and read what God promises will happen in Revelation 20, 13 through 15. Read that in your spare time. If you're not celebrating a Christmas that's filled with Christ and salvation, and the gift of salvation for man, you read Revelation 20, 13 through 15. And if you want to know a little more about it, then you can read Revelation 14, 11. And that'll give you a little more particulars on your eternal state. If that stirs your heart, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you want to know more about the real celebration of Christmas, you see me after the service, or you call me if you're on the internet, and I'd be more than happy to show you that. To give you an idea of how important the name of Jesus is in the spiritual world, the words "in Christ" or "in his name," I looked it up, it's used about 100 times. 27 books of the New Testament, 100 times, "in Christ" or "in his name." That tells you something. That's how important his name is. Now, millions of people from every nation can call on the name of Jesus and be saved. Before his birth, that couldn't happen. That's the gift. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." That would never happen before Christ. Only in the name of Jesus can you have eternal security in knowing and not guessing or thinking, but knowing that you are joint heirs with him in Christ, in heaven. Now, those who trust in the name of Jesus, those of you that do it, you can live in the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit. You can worship in the Spirit. And you can enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. And you can do that all in his name. Nobody else can do that. If you're not in Christ, then you're out of Christ. And if you're out of Christ, you don't have those benefits. Yes, the name of Jesus has completely changed the physical and the spiritual world that we live in. Paul summed up the incredible significance of the name of Jesus in Philippians 2, 9, and 10. He writes, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth." The name of Jesus. That's why we just sang that song, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know." Because it has to do with the perfect gift, the most gracious gift God could ever give wretches like the human race. And looking at our text, the command is, whatever you do in word or deed, or do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. The key point Paul is making in this text is to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything. Everything you do in this life should be done as believers in the name of Jesus Christ. If you pray, end your prayer in Jesus' name, in his holy name, no matter what you do. What does that mean? That means that your life should be Christocentric. That means Christ-centered. That means that although you have a lifestyle, although you have a life that you're trying to live, although you're sojourning here, nonetheless, your life should be centered around Christ. Christ should not be centered around your life. And I dare say that, unfortunately, in evangelical Christendom today, that is the case. The latter is the case. That Christ is not the center of people's lives. Their lives are center, and Christ is around their lives. That's not Christocentric. That's not obeying the command to do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Now the question is, why should we do that? Why does the Bible ask us to do that? Well, first and foremost of all, as I said before, you cannot get to God the Father unless you go through God the Son. You know the verse, John 14, 16. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He's the mediator between us and the Father. There's no other way to get to him. Now, there are billions of people who believe you can work your way to heaven. There's billions of people who think that you can talk to God and you can talk to him through the trees or through animals. You could do it any way you want. Absolutely wrong. If this book is the inspired book of God, then he's telling us no one comes to the Father but through me. There's no other way. You can't get to God through me. You can't come up to me and say, "Hey, brother, my line to God seems to be not working. Could you get to God for me?" No. You have to go to God through Christ. And if the line is busy or seems to be busy, it's really not. It's what's in your head. It's because you have something that's keeping the line from being clear. It's a heart thing. And if you get rid of that, I absolutely guarantee you that that line will be crystal clear. No one comes to the Father except through me. How about John 16, 23? "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Of course, he's talking about you asking of his will. Everything you ask of the Father should be done in Christ's name. Everything we do must be done by his authority. You don't have any authority. You know, I hear people tell me all the time, they say, you know what, I'm in charge of my life. No, you're not. You may go in and out of your life, but you're really not in charge of it. And I can prove that. And they say, well, how would you prove it? You tell me how you made yourself born. You tell me when you're going to die and how you're going to do it. Tell me right now. If you're in charge of your life, you tell me how long you're going to live. You tell me what tomorrow is going to be in your life if you're in charge of it. You're not in charge of anything. You're not even in charge of how many breaths you take. It's a gift. Everything we do, we have to do as believers under the authority of the name of Christ. Proof verse, Matthew 28:18-20. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He's given us all the authority and all the power we need to do anything in our life. There's not one thing a human being can have a problem with that God can't help him with, that Jesus can't help you with. Not one thing. He's sovereign God. I don't care what it is. It's only by his authority, that you can do anything that you're doing in your life. Everything that you have, the Bible says, was given to you. That's by his authority. And he has all authority over heaven and earth. By his strength, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ might rest upon me. That's what we talked about this morning in Bible study. Every single time you suffer, the power of Christ rests on you to help you get through it. It's in his name that you have that strength. You are part. You are in Christ spiritually. And he is in you spiritually. And that's how that power transfer takes place. And if you're not in him, if you're not in the name of Christ and you're not doing things in the name of Christ, I would ask you this. Whose name are you doing it in? Whose name? I told you, you could do anything you want. Of course, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There you go. What's left? How clear can it be? I can do how many things? All things. Doesn't matter what it is. In the name of Christ, you can do all things. And conversely, without him, you can't do a thing. You can't do nothing. Without Christ, as a Christian. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a backslidden stage, but I can tell you this. I have for very short periods of time in my 20 years, and I can tell you that you can't do anything when you're backsliding. Your faith level is so low. Your joy level is low. You're convicted of things that are going on in your life. You can't do anything. You know what you do? You suffer. You wither. You wither. But the very moment, you get that out, you purge yourself of whatever it is that's causing that problem. The moment you do that, the power goes back on. The power goes back on. It's that simple. We're to do all things for his glory, in his name. Revelation 5:12-13. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Wonderful stuff. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to be to him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. We do all things for his glory. Everything you do should be for his glory. If you help somebody out, Do not help them out because you feel bad for them. Help them out for God's glory. Ah, you help them out. You be an encouragement to them. And you let them see the love of God in you. Always do everything for His glory. And it doesn't matter what it is. Suffering, do it for His glory. If you have abundance, show it in His glory. If you have a blessing as a new child, give Him the glory in everything. Do it for His name. And we're to walk in His word. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let him depart from it. We're supposed to do that. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. When you do something that's offensive to God, that Holy Spirit is grieved, and you feel it. You feel it. It's as real as rain. And when that happens, that's really the sign to get rid of it. Purge it from yourself. And then, will that line to heaven be open and clear. We're to do and why are we to do everything in the name of Christ? Because everything that we have, all that we do, or all that we can do, is of Christ. Everything is of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:21 and 23. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. You're joined to the Godhead. It's all yours. That's why you're joint heirs with God and with Christ in heaven. You are joined to the Godhead. You're in Christ. Christ is in the Father. Christ is in the Holy Spirit. Wonderful. That name above all names. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is yours. You want to celebrate Christmas? This is the stuff you should be celebrating. We're reconciled to God. It's 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ. God the Father has reconciled you and me through Christ to Him. And your sacrifices. We sacrifice things to God. They're not acceptable unless you offer them to God in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 13:5. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Every time you thank God for something, thank Him in Christ. You can't thank Him on your own. There's a show on television I like to watch. It's called Gold Rush. And in that show, one group of miners there, they claim to be Christians. And every time something goes wrong, they get together, they put their hats up, and they put their other arm around each other, and they pray. They say a prayer to God, Heavenly Father, this, that, and the other. Amen. There's no Christ involved in it. That prayer never made it off the bulldozer. In Christ, everything has to be in Christ. Oh, beloved, how important that is, how significant that name is in the physical world and in the spiritual world. Everything we do must be done in His name for His glory. That's why we live every moment of our life for Him. That's what the text is telling us. All things and everything you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Christ, giving thanks to God our Father. That's the Christmas message right there. The Christmas is about the name of Jesus in the 21st century. Nothing in this, nothing has ever changed this world or will ever change this world the way the name of Christ has changed it and will continue to change it. There were many people before the election. They were all upset, Christian people. Well, what about this and what about that? And there was mumbling and grumbling, and joy levels were down to, not in a minus group, but they were low. Some people were on fumes with joy. They didn't have much at all. They were all concerned about Hillary, or they were all concerned about Trump. God's in charge of everything. And the thing that everybody thought was impossible, I want to tell you something. If, for those of you that may not have seen a miracle lately, that election was a miracle. It was a miracle. And it was only a miracle because it was planned before the world was formed that it would turn out the way that it did. Give thanks to God. And don't worry if Trump is a Russian or if he's in love with Putin. Don't worry about any of that stuff. God is in charge of it all. You're supposed to be Christians that live and walk in the Spirit. Give it up. Get it out. Purge yourself. The name of Jesus should be on your lips all day. And you're waking. I told you before, there was a time before my wife got sick. And it happened a couple of times. But one particular, it was the middle of the night, and I heard her talking. And I said, oh. She's talking to herself. She thinks I'm asleep. And so I rolled over and I tried to put the pillow over my head, but that didn't work. I could still hear her. She was talking quite loud. And as she was talking, I realized, I rolled over and I looked at her. And it was a street light. I could just see a little sliver of light. And I could see her eyes were, she was sound asleep. And she was praying to Jesus. Baby Jesus. Lord Jesus. And I learned something from that, that even in our sleep, if we put Christ in our life in every moment of our life, if that name never leaves our mind, then even when we sleep, we can worship and praise Him. And I got to tell you, in my belief, that's what we're here for. In all things, in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. And be thankful and give thanks to the Father. Do that. You want to celebrate Christmas? Celebrate Christmas knowing that the celebration is about Christ Mass, celebration of Christ. And what He did changed everything in both the physical world and the spiritual world. So now you know what's in a name. Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I know all of us here are probably neglectful in coming to Christ in everything. And so, Father, I pray that this message would stick in our hearts as a love arrow and help us, Lord, to remember that as we go through our day, the name of Jesus should be constantly in our mind and on our lips. In all things, in all deeds, in all words that we do and say, would you help us to do that? We know that's your will. So, Father, I ask that with great faith, boldness, and I ask it for your glory and the glory of our beloved Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn will stand.